Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We pray the Lord's Prayer constantly. Every single service, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't matter if it's Sunday, because we're going to pray that today in just a little bit here. Doesn't matter if it's Advent for our midweeks. It doesn't matter if it's Lent for our midweeks. Even on Good Friday, it's not actually in the service properly, but I kind of just shoved it in there anyway. Why? Because it is the most excellent prayer. That's why. It's the prayer that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave to us. And so, not only should we pray this prayer as the church every time we gather, but you, as an individual, you should pray the Lord's Prayer every day of your life. Because contained within the seven petitions that our Lord gives us, we pray for everything we could possibly need. There is not one need of ours that is left out in this prayer. And so, especially when you don't know what to pray, the Lord's Prayer becomes a good default. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, in John 16, we don't get the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus does teach us a great deal about prayer when he says, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So first, this is the continuation from last Sunday's gospel reading, and assuming you need a refresher, that day that Jesus is talking about, that's referenced here in our text, Jesus is referring to the day when he sends the Holy Spirit to the church. When the Holy Spirit comes to his church, in that day, we will have no need to ask any more questions about how salvation will be accomplished. We'll already know, because it comes after Jesus' death. It comes after Jesus' resurrection. It comes after Jesus' ascension. And only after Jesus goes back to the Father does the Holy Spirit descend on the church. Really, in a rather magnificent way, but we'll cover that in a few weeks. But to this point in the narrative, as we make it to John 16, the disciples don't understand the crucifixion. They don't understand the resurrection. They haven't quite yet made it there. And so they need the fullness of salvation to be revealed. Now, for you and I, the fullness of salvation has been revealed. We're living in the year 2022. This is nearly 2,000 years after Jesus did all of these wonderful things. But what Jesus says is that we need the fullness of salvation in order to pray. No crucifixion, no resurrection, no prayer. Why? Well, we're sinners, right? That's the first thing we confess in our service every week. We are poor, miserable sinners, and we don't deserve to be able to lift up prayers to God. We don't deserve to be able to be in God's presence. In fact, God is holy and we are not. We don't belong in his presence until the atonement, until Jesus announces that you are forgiven. And in that moment, now you can actually enter God's presence because you no longer have sin on you. A holy God can be united with a holy people. You have Christ's death and resurrection. And this is where some people get a little nervous, a little uneasy. Because it means that unbelievers aren't heard by God. There's no reason for us to think that the unbeliever's prayer actually makes it to God's ears. And I call them like Hollywood prayer. Have you ever seen in like movies and stuff? And the main character, you know, they're right in the midst of all their suffering, and they'll go, "Well, God, if you really are up there, if you really are listening, come on." It's a prayer without faith. It's a prayer without confidence. It's a prayer to a God they don't even believe in. It's not a prayer at all. No, faith and prayer go hand in hand. And so if you are outside of faith, you are outside of forgiveness, and you are unable to pray, at least in any meaningful way. Now, this leads us into the next teaching of Jesus concerning prayer, though. All prayer is to be done in Jesus' name. He tells us that. So let's try it. You ready? Heavenly Father, please give me $1 million. Wait, no inflation. Please give me $2 million, right? Here's the kicker, right? Here we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? You think that money's coming? Maybe it'll be sitting in a unmarked box on my porch when I get home, right? No, probably not. Right? Why? Well, I mean, maybe I will. Maybe eventually, by the time I make it to the end of my life, I'll have $2 million. We'll see. But I prayed in Jesus' name, didn't I? So why isn't that going to work? It's because prayer is not some sort of like weird formulaic means by which we manipulate God. That's not what it means to use Jesus' name. I mean, if we use prayer that way, if we think that somehow if I lift up my prayer as in putting some coins into a vending machine, and then God, as my celestial vending machine, is supposed to pour down his blessings of some type. No, right? To be in Jesus' name, it doesn't mean you're using the specific words. It means that you're praying in faith. It's not a formula. To be in Jesus' name means that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who has been crucified and risen for you. To be in Jesus' name means that God's name was placed onto you, either when you first heard the gospel and believed it, maybe in the waters of baptism. To be in Jesus' name means that you stand sinless before a righteous God because of the blood of Jesus. Because his blood has paid for you, redeemed you from your sin. But there's more. Because, of course, if we're in Jesus' name, it means that we have to actually be informed by something. How do we stay in that name? How do we get in that name? And it's through the power of the Scriptures. And if we're in the Scriptures, if we're in Jesus' name, if we're in this faith, it means that our desires are then going to somehow, like, kind of sort of look like the desires of Jesus. Because we're defined by the Scriptures. We're defined by what God has revealed to us in his will, which is poured out to us in the Bible. And so our prayers then are not filled with selfish and sinful gratifications, but they're filled with God's word. So here's my first encouragement for you this week. Ready? Open the Bible this week and pray the Psalms. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but in fact, the one we had for our intro is perfect, if I still have it with me. Yeah. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Turn that into a prayer. I mean, you turn God's promises into prayer. That's how our will aligns with Jesus. That's how we pray in Jesus' name. How about the line right before the Gloria there? He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. I mean, if you're not battling with your sin on a weekly basis, you've got serious problems. I mean, you need to live a life of repentance. And not to mention the fact that, you know, the world is constantly trying to tear our faith down. I mean, we are in the midst of a battle every day of our life. And so we pray that God would help us and deliver us and be with us throughout this battle. And so pray the Psalms. And pray as you would normally, right? Pray as Jesus did. He prays for an end to evil and for righteousness to prevail. Pray for an end to war and that peace might prevail. Pray for an end to sickness and pain and death. Pray for God's blessings in your life and upon your family and upon your friends. The hard one, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who do not yet know Jesus. Because God wants to hear your prayers. And Lord knows we need his help. I mean, to be in Jesus' name, this is why God sent Jesus to begin with, right? To take away your sin, yes, 100%. But what do we find Jesus doing on the way to the cross? It's not like he's born and the next day he has to be crucified. No, as he lives his life, he is binding up the brokenhearted. He's healing those whose bodies are broken. And he's proclaiming the kingdom of God to all who will listen. If God didn't listen, or if God didn't care, or if God didn't want us to be in his son's name, Jesus wouldn't have done any of that. We wouldn't have a savior. But we do. And so let us use this gift of prayer. All right, last thing to highlight for today. In our text, Jesus also tells us. He tells us that we're supposed to pray, right? We need the Holy Spirit. We need faith to do so. We're supposed to be in his name, that is, be in scriptures, remain in the faith as we pray. But then he also tells us that we get to approach God as our Father. Right? He says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Jesus comes to this world. He shares the same flesh and blood that you have. He becomes your brother in this life. That way we might call God our Father, our true Father. And we are his true children. Why? So that with all boldness and confidence, we might pray to God as dear children ask their dear Father. And what does a loving Father do? He gives to his children. He gives his time. He gives his treasure. He gives everything to his kids, because that's what a father does. What does he say? Jesus tells us, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to give us everything that will make us joyful. And that doesn't mean happy. It means joyful. It means having an eternal reality that is set aside for us. Because God gives you every good thing. So I'm going to tell you one more story. When I was in high school, I really liked to get hot lunch. You know, and I went to public school, and so they had these cheese-filled breadsticks. So good. So on Monday, I'd ask my dad, hey, Dad, can I get some money for hot lunch? And what would he do? He would open his wallet, and he would take out a $20 bill, and he would hand it to me. Why? Because my dad knows that I need to eat food, and he loves me. And so he gave me money that I could eat food. You see how this works? Consequently, what if I was like, hey, Dad, I need $20 to go get heroin, right? Do you think he's going to open his wallet and give me $20? No. Why? Because that's not good for me. This is how prayer works. When we ask God for things, and we should ask for whatever you want. I mean, as long as it's not something evil. I mean, ask for the desires of your heart. Wonderful. But if you don't get it, don't think that it's because God doesn't love you. It's because he knows better than you do. He knows what is best for you. In fact, Jesus teaches that too, and this is from Matthew 7. He says, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God always gives us good. And this becomes incredibly hard to swallow when there are times in our life when we have to endure suffering, or when we have to endure pain, or when we have to endure loss. But sometimes suffering is for our benefit. Sometimes pain is required for us to grow. Sometimes we need to be humbled by God in order that we might recognize our need for him and that we might see his care for us all the more. You know what else prayer helps us to do when we pray in Jesus' name? It helps us to trust in God and to trust in his promises. It helps us to look to him as the giver of every good thing and to recognize that he is the one who showers us with his blessings. That's the real gift of prayer, is being humble creatures under a good and holy God. My friends, we're living in that day, you know, the day when the Holy Spirit has granted you faith. And by God's grace, you believe Jesus' promises. By God's grace, you stand in Jesus' name. And you've been called out of unbelief to trust in his death and resurrection. Therefore, the Father who created the heavens and the earth has promised to continually pour out his goodness on you in times of prosperity and adversity. And so not only am I going to encourage you this week to pray the Psalms, but I'm going to give you one more encouragement. That every morning this week, the first thing you do after you open your eyes should be to thank God for the day that is before you and to ask him for his blessing, that you might receive the goodness that he has in store for you every day of your life and every day into all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your prayer in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.